This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.
Hello friends, welcome to Inside Commodity Futures. I'm John Payne, joined by Craig Turner. Thanks for joining us each and every week on Tuesdays. We discuss what's going on in the commodity space. Just since we've last talked, we do this every Tuesday. Last Tuesday, the 12th, was the WASDE report, and we've seen a substantial move in the grains market since then. So, like I said, thanks to Craig Turner for joining me. Craig, what are you making the price action since we last talked?
Well, you know, we were just talking a little bit before we came on here, and since the WASDE report, the soybeans and corn are higher. I think soybeans are about 30 cents. From where we were before the WASDE, and corn maybe 15 cents. Is that what we were looking at?
Yes. Yeah, that'd be about right. We're up from the lows on a percentage basis. You'd be up, 20 cents on a 350 contract. So just a little bit over 5% on the corn. Mm-hmm. And on the soybeans, 35 cents, we'll call it, from the lows right around the 850 level to just below 890 today before we pulled back a little bit. So beans and corn, since we've last talked a week ago, have really made a run in a short period of time that probably has some cash sellers looking to move grain into it.
Yeah, and the corn, I think those reports were, the year-end reports or the January reports were, mildly bullish for them.
But I do too.
But there's a big short position in corn and beans, and there is some news coming out of South America, whether it be weather or harvest isn't going as fast, isn't going along as smoothly as they thought for soybeans. Mm-hmm. And there's been issues with some of the corn, and I think I even heard some reports of maybe Argentina importing corn from Brazil. There was a few things going on around there just where there's a little temporary hiccup. So I don't know.
I think with that, it's more logistics. I think that it's difficult sometimes to buy corn from different areas in those countries because they don't have the highway system that we have, so they can get it from Brazil. But other than that, yeah.
So you get little stories like that, no bearish news, all little bits of bullish news and a big short position. And, if you look at a chart of corn, we're probably hitting some resistance here around 370, on a trend line basis. And for, maybe we can hit 380. I'm sure a lot of producers I talk to would like to get to 380, if not $4. I don't know how realistic $4 is right now for corn. But if you do get some kind of short covering rally, or maybe something happens with the weather, or wheat gets short covering, it drags corn higher, maybe 380, maybe it could happen. And then you might see some more. Then I think you would definitely see some more cash sales on the hedge and producer side.
Yeah, I think the bears are going to argue there's just a heavy short position that's covering itself here. Saw today pointed out by a couple of the bigger bears that we follow that feed wheat is starting to fall globally. And I think that's why you have seen wheat slower to rally on this. I think a lot of folks are pointing more towards the U.S. weather as a reason for it to rally. But I don't know. It just doesn't feel to me like we're seeing anything that's damaging yield. It's going to be – that'll be determined down the road. I think a lot of this more has to do with just the fact that the funds are short beans and corn, and there's a little bit of a story developing just with the new crop going into the ground. We'll touch on that in a little bit. But other than that, the story really is crude oil and energy markets, and the fact that, I got to be impressed a little bit that we rallied in the face of a crude oil market that's fallen close to – what are we looking at just since the first of the year, $10?
Yeah, it is – that's a really good point because – on Friday when we were rallying, stock market was lower, crude was lower, the macro, markets around the globe were lower, and yet here corn and soybeans and wheat were, and they're trying to make the charge higher. So it was interesting to see that. With crude, you got to think to yourself, there's got to be a bottom sometime. I mean, I guess maybe not. I mean, you've been saying that for 18 months now, which I think E. Boone Pickens has been saying, for the past 18 months. But, we're down $70 from a year and a half ago. At $29, you can't go down another 70, right? I mean, you can only go down so much. So I would think we'd start to hit some kind of support level, or even if it continues to drop, it's not going to go down another – it can't go down another $30. It could go down maybe 5 or 10, I guess. At some point it's gotta stabilize here. And I think that might be a little bit of a bullish, maybe not bullish for grain traders and funds, but a reason to cover. If the outside markets are gonna not be as much of a bearish force on the grains.
Well, I keep an eye open on the on from the exchanges here. I think that the first step probably will be once we stop falling. I mean, like you mentioned, we can't go down like this. We can't go at this rate forever. Shoot, I mean, just since in the first 3 weeks of the trading year, not even full three full trading weeks, we're off 25%. I mean, at this rate, we'll be at zero by summer. So, I think the first thing I'll look for is the exchanges maybe to lower margins a little bit. We're still $5,000 basically on a crude contract.
Right.
And I mean, the price of the crude contract itself is only $30K on the front month, so that's pretty high relative to where a lot of the other commodities. I think that maybe causes the fall to stop, but maybe that just adds more speculators to the picture. I don't know. Calling bottoms in this market it's been a real difficult thing for the last year and a half.
Right, and even it's interesting. You look back at some of the charts on crude. Back in August of last, over the summer we had a low of 38, and then went all the way back up to 51 or 52. Before coming back down to 29. So
yeah, it was this. Somebody said on Twitter the other day that the first two inventory reports of that year are typically bearish. We see builds, and I think the market saw an API number on Tuesday of last week that was bullish, and when the Cushing report came in on Wednesday, it was bearish, and it never recovered. I think it short covered into the close of the week. And, I would say you're the spread guy. You see anything moving on those front month or any of the bull spreads kicking in a little bit to give some hope?
That is one thing that that we have noticed. So as crude is making really new lows, the spreads are firming up a little bit. So when you look at March versus June, or you look at June versus December, we're not making new lows in those spreads. Some of the closer ones like March versus June, it's up off the lows and it's been consolidating a little bit. But something like June versus December has actually been trying to make a reversal. So that doesn't mean we've half found a bottom. But usually when you are looking for bottoms in markets, a lot of times you're looking for the term structure to go from bearish to neutral to bullish first. Mm-hmm. And then you expect the flat price futures to start turning around with it. And that's, we look at that in terms of energy markets. We look at, we look for those signals in the grain markets, and we look for those signals also in the livestock market, and we're starting to see it. So just recently, probably in the past week, to seeing some of these spreads starting to turn bullish, it's kind of been a little bit of a clue for me to start looking at the flat priced futures and to see if it can really form a base here.
Sure.
Oil. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's as good of a way as any. I think it's extremely difficult to trade a market like this when you just don't know, where the next headlines can come from, and the fact that the market is really, I won't say short, but like I said, we were here a year ago, and I think folks who had, been in part of that are very hesitant to want to short here, but at the same time, you wake up every morning and we're down 3%. I mean, it's hard to not get in that camp, and I've got a couple of folks that I trust on and lean who are slowly moving that way, and it's a little scary to see some of the more bullish guys get bearish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just going back to how we look at the spread markets, if you look at the spreads in the grain markets, those all have been turning bullish too, along with the flat price futures.
Mm-hmm.
Dece corn versus red December corn, which would be 2017, seems like it's trying to put in a bottom at 18 cent carry, and now we're up to about 11.5 cents. You look at soybeans, July versus November. We're actually, you know, we were at about an 8 cent carry for a better part of anywhere between a 5 cent or an 8 cent carry for the better part of the past 2 months. And now we're almost trading at even money. And same thing with November beans versus red November beans, be 2017. You know, we were at 15 cent carry back in November, and now we're almost at even money again. So it's just, I know that crude oil, the flat price, have been taking a huge hit. You know, the dollar has been strong, and China's been collapsing, and the S&P is down. What, we're back? Are we in a bear market now with the stock market? It seems.
I believe so.
Yeah, it seems to change every day depending on where we close. But yeah. You know, if we're in the correction zone or in the bear market zone, but you know, the spreads are starting to tell you that we're turning a little bit. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at. For the corn, I'm a little bit more optimistic on corn and soybeans and crude than I have been, you know, in probably in at least the past few months.
Sure.
You know, just based on the spread action.
Well, one other thing that we just a little piece of news here. We'll announce this through the newsletter, but the DT Pro platform, if you trade on our DT Pro and you're listening to this, or you're trading in RJ O'Brien, either one, look at symbol AW. That is the Bloomberg Commodity Index. It's kind of a new formed instrument that's being traded by, you know, hasn't really been traded in the past. It used to be called the Dow Jones UBS Commodity Index, and it wasn't really traded in the past, but there is some volume there. If you're looking to play the commodity space from an overall standpoint, where you just say, hey, I'd rather, you know, like to get a little exposure to the whole complex, check out symbol AW. They're still working out a lot of the data as far as backtesting with the charts. You can get a lot of that stuff anywhere through either Bloomberg.com or any website you find. But AW and then the month would be March, what we're trading now. You know, one way for you to play the overall commodity story, you know, from the short side or the long side. But it's kind of a new way to do it. Not very much margin either. I think $300 a contract, so something smaller if you just want to delve into to the markets here. It doesn't really feel like a place you'd want to do it just from the way the charts look, but it's one of those ways for you to play the market without getting your head cut off, so to speak.
That's interesting. I had heard about that, and the Bloomberg Commodity Index. I'll definitely be keeping an eye on that. We'll see how that goes. I mean, you know, based on I'm sure. You know, it's probably weighted heavily.
You can
and
get
crude.
The weights all yeah. online. I'm yeah. pretty sure it's weighted heavily, more heavily to the crude side.
Right.
But, you know, you can look at the chart. I think copper has a lot of it, too, maybe the more industrial metals. But you can just look at a chart online, and you can see. I mean, we're basically, let's say, for example, the index was trading at 170 at the highs in 2011. What's it, about 73 right now
right.
on that index. So, I mean, you can really see on some of the stuff how far the commodity space has fallen, and that's, you know, an appetite for, I guess I just take it as an appetite for global risk and the idea that we're going to need more stuff or more inputs in the future than we do right now. Mm-hmm. You see it any other way? You seen any shimmers of light out there?
No. I mean, I like that idea of watching the Bloomberg Commodity Index, you know, on the commodity front, because not only just for, you know, what's going on in the commodity space, and it has come down so much, you know, and the dollar has gone up a lot, but it's also a big deal with the Fed, and they're always tracking inflation, and, you know, they basically only have two indicators on if they're going to raise rates. They really don't, it seems like they don't care so much about how the economy is doing. They just really care about inflation and unemployment. And that commodity index is going to be a big part of it. You know, I know as soon as you start to see that to stabilize or maybe even go higher, that's an inflation sign. So so I'll be watching it just for that. In terms of just the global, you know, the overall markets, I know we touched on the S&P a little bit earlier, but it looks like we're testing those lows again from when mm-hmm. From when China crashed. Back in late August, and that's going to be interesting to see if we hold these levels. I mean, we only got about 20 or 30 S&P points lower, and we'd be making new lows, you know, from the crash back in August.
Yeah, it's amazing. It really is, and it shows how I don't quite understand. You know, if you look, I think the move we made back up on October 2nd, like, what is the difference now? You know, when they started that fourth quarter of the year, and we were trading right here. Mm-hmm. And then we all of a sudden just kind of churned higher and eventually tested 2,100 again within, what, a month? Like, what is the difference now? I guess, can't seem to get my hands on that.
I think, and, you know, The way I understand it is that, you know, we had the big crash, which was, you know, the concern of, you know, basically China weighing down the rest of the markets. Then after the Chinese government, you know, stepped in, I think everyone kind of thought that the Chinese government knew what they were doing, kind of acting like the Fed, you know, providing liquidity and getting a handle under their, a really good control under their markets. And it's, you know, and that lasted for a while. And since the beginning of the year, you know, China's been selling off pretty good again. And, you know, maybe there is more systemic risk out there than people are, you know, people originally thought. So what is the difference between now and, let's say, October or November? I think people have more doubts about how the Chinese government can really control the economy or how much influence they really have. Because, you know, the thing is, like, the Fed – you know, the Fed, the United States Fed loses control over the economy, too. I mean, you know, when we went, you know, the flash crash is a good example, or, you know, the crisis we had after subprime, you know, anyone who remembers, you know, back in 2007, you know, where Bernanke's saying, you know, it's subprime is not a big deal. It's a, such a small part of the market. But, you know, a year or two later, it practically brings down the financial system. So I think it's the uncertainty, right? You just don't know. And if you don't know, then, you know, you sell. I guess that's that's the way I see it.
Sure. Well, like I said, the last night, the market would have been Monday in the evening. China came out with a GDP number, a little bit disappointing at 6.8%. No, I think the commodity bulls want to see that above 7. Folks thinking maybe we'd see some stimulus here from China. I think that was what the folks were thinking early this morning. Maybe they've changed their mind now as the day has gone on. But all in all, the market is definitely moving parabolically, and it gives us just a little bit of a caution just as we fall in like this that, you know, markets aren't linear and they'll correct at some point. But on the grain side, the real news now will be acreage, I think, going forward. Go ahead.
No, no, you're absolutely right. So Informa had their numbers today, right? And they're looking at acres, and you're right. Like, that's going to be the big thing with the grains, because we're going to probably be – that's the big part of the supply side. I think they said just under 89 million corn and about 85 million beans. Is that right?
85 and some change for beans. And 89 – we'll call it 89. It was like a high 88 for corn. Wheat at 51, all wheat was at 51. I think that winter wheat number was right around where the USDA came in. So, you know, from the whether it's bullish or bearish, I think the bean number is bearish. It's a very, very difficult thing to get over with. You know, we and I played with that spreadsheet this morning and just saw where yield really could bury us with supply.
Right. So, like, if you have just trendline yield with 85 million acres, maybe the carryout balloons to, like, 700 million.
Right.
You know, but so, I mean, which is it's so high that it's almost unbelievable, where you're almost looking at the spreadsheet to be like, well, how can, you know, what could happen to bring that down a little bit? And then, you know, it's the corn stocks at 89 million don't go up that much. You know, it's you add on 100 million bushels here. So to me, looking at those numbers, if that's close to what the market thinks it's going to be, probably neutral for corn and bearish for soybeans. So, I mean, the fundamental traders will probably be looking at that ratio spread, you know, of corn to beans, if that's how they really feel, the acres are going to come in this year.
Yeah, well, that'll be the story, and you're looking for something to drive prices and grains in the short term. Obviously, South America is the kind of first place you look. Nothing really to write home about there as far as anything that's destroying yields. A little bit of story up in the northern part of Brazil, a little bit of flooding in the southern part of Brazil. Argentina seems to be in pretty good shape right now. Still have a long way to go, of course, for the corn down there, but beans will be coming out of the ground here as we speak and really going forward into the month of February. And the next thing, like I said, is acreage. So you and I will continue to talk about what's going to be planted here in the States, and that will directly influence, I think, not only what the spreads do, but where those deferred contracts go, like December 16, which has a nice little move on it. We were down at 360, I think we were down at the 375 level when we bottomed out a couple weeks ago, trading up near 390 and some change right now. Is that enough to get the 89 million? Probably in this market, but we'll have to stand by just to make sure it's all planted, and that's what we'll try to do as we get the growing season.
Yeah. So going forward, before we wrap this up, I think there are just a few things I'll be looking at this week. Just, you know, in terms of levels, like the S&P futures, 1850 is, you know, if okay. you close below 1850, that's going to concern me. In terms of corn, if we can rally and go to 380 and close above 380, I think that would be a pretty bullish move, and you might even see some of the buying programs that do mm-hmm. a lot of the technical analysis, you know, either get neutral or maybe even flip around and get long.
Okay. So 380 corn?
Yeah, 380 corn. Okay. And then for soybeans, I think we're, you know, 880 seems to be a natural resistance point. So mm-hmm. if we can get a close above 880, I don't know. I think we could see $9. So those are the things I'm going to be looking at in terms of the spreads too. I follow the July November soybean spread a lot, and if there's mm-hmm. real concern about the crop or there is greater demand, like in the cash side, that's what I usually look for. So if we keep on seeing strength in beans and we keep on seeing strength in that July versus November spread, you know, to me that means that we really do have a little bit of a bullish story, but you know, that is developing in soybeans.
Sure. So that will be, you know, we'll talk about and we touch base next week. For reports this week, you're looking at cattle on feed and a lot of the livestock ones coming in Thursday and Friday. So be on the lookout for that. Nothing after that until the February WASDE. So Craig and I will be continually in your ear about what's going on technically and kind of seasonally. And we'll be sure to update you as any news happens. Craig, anything else to leave everybody with for the week?
One last thing on the cattle. I know in podcasts in the past, my newsletter, I do talk about the summer months, you know, trading at a relatively high value to the winter months next year. Mm-hmm. There has been a roll, like the Goldman roll was getting out of February and into April. And then you also saw some other commodity index rolls getting out of the February live cattle and then going into June or August. So some of those spreads actually kind of, I think, just got a lot of buying on the front end. And then since that rolls have, you know, have come away, those spreads have actually been coming down again. So it'll be interesting to see. Those cattle reports are going to be big. And if you have been following along those spreads like June versus October or August versus December, you know, definitely want to keep an eye on those reports. I do think that over time we'll probably see those spreads get back more towards their normal historical pricing as we get more of a regular supply and demand in that cattle market.
Okay. Well, we'll see if the reports on Thursday change any of that. For updates, check in back with us on Tuesday of next week. Craig and I will be back to talk about it. Craig, thanks as always. We'll see you next week.
All right. Have a good one, John. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.